Today's guest did the unthinkable. During a time of personal trial and hardship, she dedicated herself to fasting and praying while waiting on God's instruction for her life. After 42 days, she believes God told her to do something that many thought of at the time as utter insanity. She was convinced God told her to get a literal giant wooden cross and walk with it on foot from Florida to Washington, D.C. at a time when she basically had nothing to her name and nobody to go with her. What she did next would change her life and shock the world. And she's here to tell us about it right now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Skywatch TV. We have such a treat planned for all of you in attendance and those at home today, but before I let the cat out of the bag, I'm going to introduce this week's special guest. She's the president and founder of Watchman Broadcasting and an absolute legend in Christian television. Please welcome Dorothy Spalding. You know, sincerely, Dorothy, as a platform that pursues who we feel are the greatest minds alive today to bring the gospel message of Jesus Christ to those willing to listen, I thought of it as only but destiny at some point that we would have to cross paths with Dorothy Spalding, yeah. Right? Yeah. You've written this book, We Walk by Faith, Not by Sight. And I want to bring that up on the screen so those of you at home can get a close-up look at the cover. What a beautiful cover, and what an awesome story inside. This book details not one but several expeditions that are unlike anything I have ever heard in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so I want to dive right into the interview because, again, there's never enough time to cover all this material. But for those unfamiliar, Dorothy, that may be watching Skywatch for the first time that have never met you, tell us just a little bit about yourself. And describe your life pre this adventure that we're going to be talking about. Because again, this step of faith that she took, I guarantee you, it is unlike anything you've ever heard before.
Well, I had a very successful business. I'm on ABC. I write for the New York Times papers. I have everything going for me.
So you're in media.
I'm all in everything, yeah. But my life quickly changed. Sin will take you where you never thought you'd go.
Yeah.
And I entered into sin and lived a double life for a long time. I had my own store. I had just so many wonderful things, running with some of the wealthiest people in the world. And then, all of a sudden, it was like, no matter how hard I tried, everything was going bad. And then I opened myself up to God, and I said, God, what's going on? And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. We all want a really quick fix.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a quick fix. I repented. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was so excited about God. All of the things that were so important before didn't matter. And I said, there was a lot that leads to that, and it's in this book. But then I said, what do you want with my life? I went down on the street. I helped street people because I was hurting so bad. I'd get up in the middle of the night and I'd cry, and then I'd start dancing before the Lord and just praising him, because Jehoshaphat praised the Lord, mm-hmm. and look what happened. He won the battle.
Right.
And so I was pulling all the people who were praising God, so I thought, well, that'll help me here. But it wasn't like that. So then I heard the Lord tell me to go out and help the street people. So I went 2 hours away to Daytona Beach and drove over there many times with no gas in my car. Because when I lost everything, I literally lost everything.
Okay.
And so I would come out to the car. Maybe there was $2 stuffed in the window. But I would head off 2 hours away to Daytona Beach, work with street people.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I didn't hurt so much anymore. Too many times when things happen, it's all about us. It's not if you get your eyes off of us and get your eyes onto that person who's hurting. It makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went on that 42-day fast because no one would hire me. They said, you're too overqualified. They didn't want me to come. And I had the biggest craft store. I could do anything. But nope, they didn't want me. So that's when I went on that 42-day fast. I had 3 children to support,
okay.
And I had no money.
So give me an idea. Roughly at what time was this happening? Are we talking in the 90s? When did this take
70s
place?
70s to 80s.
So you had everything. You're working for ABC, successful businesswoman. Would you frame it as God took everything away, or he simply allowed
sin.
You to lose everything through sin?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you can be uncovered, come out from the covering, and sin brought all this destruction.
And now you're finding it cathartic ministry work to work with those that are homeless or on the streets. And you're finding it difficult to find employment. So you started a 42-day fast, is that correct?
So I said, God, what do you want with my life? And he told me to get a wooden cross, build a wooden cross. My dad built a wooden cross. And by the way, when he went to put the wheel in it, the drill bit went through his hand, slipped and went through his hand. And so I just grabbed it and I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I command the blood to stop. I command the healing. And he went and washed it off, and there wasn't even a mark.
Oh, my God!
I did that.
Wow.
And that was the first miracle I saw.
Wow, that's amazing.
Wow. Then we had miracles all 8 years while we were walking the cross. But he told me to do this, and I said, okay, Lord, but I need a man to carry the cross. I'd have probably called you, Joe. I called everybody.
You've been disappointed in my performance. Six or eight yards. Yeah, let's get somebody stronger in here. So God gives you this instruction. He says, I want you to build a literal wooden cross, put a wheel in the bottom of it. We've probably got pictures of this for the viewers at home.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to walk from where to where?
The first one was Florida to Washington, D.C.
So you feel that God tells you to walk from Florida to Washington, D.C. on foot?
Yes, and proclaim
his
gospel.
And carry this cross.
Well, I wasn't going to carry it. So I call everybody, and then on the streets, I had met Russell. And Russell, he was on my witnessing team down on the streets, and I told the pastor, get him off my team. He's too radical for me.
Then
the pastor said, Dorothy, you got to fast and pray for him, that he'll, you know, fit in and be more what you want there on the streets witnessing. And I did, and we became best friends.
Okay.
So he heard I was walking with the wooden cross. So I went down there. I was going to bring street people with me to carry the cross. And my mother's having a fit. She's praying, God, don't let this happen.
Okay.
Please, God, don't let this happen. And she's a minister's wife, but it was just too much.
Is she just worried about you? The idea of you going with anonymous strangers and street people across the state?
Walking, yeah. That Sunday morning, God told me to go on Good Friday, but I don't know why I decided to go on Palm Sunday. I didn't listen to him. And that Sunday morning, I went there at 6 in the morning, and no one showed up. So I went to church, and people kind of jeered at me, and they said, I thought you were walking the cross today. I said, I was, but no one showed up.
I gotcha.
And then this one man said, it's better to do what you believe God told you to do than to do nothing. So I went home and I said, God, why? You wanted me to do this. And then he said, why do you always do things your way? Why don't you trust me? And I said, okay, I'm sorry. So the next morning, I got a call from Russell Spalding. And he said, what's this I hear about you walking across? I said, well, Russell, get yourself over here. I need you to come over. Now, when I knew Russell, he was like a hippie. He had street fashion with a band across his head, long hair. And I thought, oh, boy. But he came over. And here, when I answered the door, I was shocked. Nicely cut hair, well-dressed. I thought, like, what happened to you? I stood there for a moment. I looked at him and thought, Russell? I told him the vision and what God told me to do. And then he said, well, tonight I'm going to a Bible study. Let's just go to this Bible study and see what they tell us. And so we went to the Bible study. And this man, I didn't know him, he pulled Russell and I up and he put his hands on our feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news.
Mm. Oh,
and
wow.
That started our walk. So we had no money. And we were using his car because I'd lost everything. And so we're going to use his car. And he had some gas in it. So we had to trust God from the first night. Well, on Thursday, we were going to leave, still not listening. And Ruthie Davis came with us. She's a driver. Then that night before we were going to leave, somebody called and said, we want to give you our tip money. So we left with $75 of tip money on a journey walking from Florida to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And guess what? When we drove up to near Jacksonville, Russell slept outside of the car. We slept in the car. And that was Good Friday when we left. So God just worked it all out.
Does that not sound radical, though? Can you see where people maybe, Dorothy, in your sphere, people that knew you might have thought, this woman has lost her mind.
They did.
You have no money. You know, God doesn't expect us to do these things. This is too risky. He cares about our safety, right? My father-in-law often says, Christians have a fetish for safety.
Fetish.
You know, they need to be more obedient. But anyway, getting back to the story here, that would have been, in my eyes, I'm thinking of one of my daughters, and I could have been guilty of one of those voices saying, now, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. This is utter insanity. You know, you've got no money. Are you at least prepared to protect yourself? Do you have a pepper spray? Do you have a provision? Do you have a anything? Mm-mm. Maybe some coupons for Hotel 6 along the way. Something, right?
We had the angels.
You had angels.
Yes.
So people that knew you, did they think of you as like,
yeah,
this is
they
just
thought
crazy?
We were crazy.
I want to make sure, I know I'm confused about one detail. So when you actually began to take the cross, were you all walking or were some of you driving in a car while others walked, or how did that work?
An elderly lady would drive the car and she would go ahead and tell the churches were coming. But churches who didn't know you kind of like, huh?
Oh.
And we'd meet different people. But God always opened the door. Where we're going to sleep, what we're going to eat.
Yeah.
Always.
Wow.
Did you have a way to communicate at least with your base?
No, because we didn't
this
have.
This was pre-cell phones, right?
Yeah.
Would she like stay elsewhere and then rendezvous with you, or is she literally physically traveling with you?
We have a map. We say, you follow this road,
yeah,
and pick us up right there. And we've walked probably 26 to 30-some miles a day to start. Well, Russell was carrying the cross that first couple days, and the devil kept saying, throw it in the ditch, throw it in the ditch. And Russell was so embarrassed, and here I am like Daisy May, hey, Jesus loves you. Waving at all the trucks and the cars. By the way, you had to wave with this arm because the trucks came so close, you waved with this arm, you might lose it.
Oh, wow.
So you're like right on the shoulder of the highway at
times. On the white line.
Now, you start this expedition, this walk of faith, this total trust in the Lord that he's telling you to do this. So you had expectation he would provide for you?
Oh, yeah.
You never doubted that you know, your next meal, your next place to stay?
Never.
Talk to me a little bit about what that looked like. So you've started this journey.
So we got all bit up with no sims the first day. That's a Florida bug that just bites you.
Okay.
And so we were walking, and that's when Russell felt like throwing it in a ditch. Mm-hmm. And then a medical supply truck came. The only medical supply truck that ever came by. And he said, do you need coolants or something for bugs or skin coolant? And so he gave us what we needed.
Wow.
And that gave Russell encouragement. And then we kept walking.
Okay.
And those first, I say, 3-4 days were really bad because we had cold winds were blowing us. It was like, it was hard because I'm carrying a little red wagon around my waist.
Uh-huh.
And then Russell's got the cross, but in the wagon are things. And it was hard when the wind was blowing. It was so cold. And then the sun would come and beat it so hot.
Okay.
And then the rain, one rainstorm came. And I said, Russell, stay under the bridge. He said, no, this way to Washington, lady. And I said, Russell, it's lightning. I have a metal wagon with me. And he says, you'll be fine. Let's go. And so we went out in that rainstorm.
Just walking through the rain.
But it was a storm with lightning and everything. And all of a sudden, it was like Jesus was walking with us. Mm-hmm. I never felt it. The most peace you ever had. I said, Russell, you feel that? And he says, I can't feel the weight of this cross. And then I said, I don't feel the wagon either. And we were just in the midst of him. And then when the storm lifted, it was gone. It was amazing. Carried us through the storm.
What other situations took place along this first expedition? Were there moments where people offered you food? Did they, we heard you're coming. Because at some point, the national media started to pay attention to these two people that were walking across the U.S. carrying a cross, right? So it became a real, almost a cultural anomaly, didn't it?
I'll tell you about the news media. They would stop us and get our stories. But it was just neat because you never know who you're going to stop by. Mm-hmm. In one city in Georgia, we got stopped by a satanic police force, and they were going to arrest us.
Oh, wow.
And so I said, being from the news media, I said, oh, you haven't heard of us? We're being covered by all the national news. All of a sudden, they backed up.
Okay.
That got rid of
that. That was a smart move from a strategical tactical
standpoint. Yes, by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
But then one day, Russell said, oh, I would like some hamburgers, french fries, and a Coke. And we walked around the corner, and this lady was sitting with two plates, hamburger, french fries, and a Coke.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. This is so full. This book is so full of just, I mean, I'm just giving you little tiny glimpses.
This journey went on, the first one went on how long? How long did it take you to get from Florida to D.C.?
It took us a month to start from walking from Florida to D.C., and then Russell got very ill just outside of D.C.
Okay.
So we had to get off the road for, I think it was a week, and he went into the hospital, and they said, well, he's, you know, really a bad, brittle diabetic.
Oh, wow.
And he just found that out there.
Wow.
And he says, Jesus is my healer. And after a few days of being in that hospital, he said, forget this. I'm checking out. I believe Jesus. Now, I'm not telling you to do that, but that's what he did.
That's what he did, sure.
And so when we came out and we went back to the point where we left off of to keep walking, and he got real wavy with the cross. I said, God, you can't let him die out here. And the Lord said that he sent a man. It was a wonderful man. And he said he saw the cross, and the Lord told him to come pray for the man carrying the cross. And he got healed. He started dancing around with the cross. And it was amazing what happened. God is, if people would just realize this book is true.
Mm. Yeah.
If he said he's going to do it, he'll do it. The promises in this book are true.
Yeah.
And that led for 8 years of walking, leaving to the promises. Can I tell you a real quick
story? Yeah, absolutely.
There is a man, Russell one day ran, his shoes got a hole in it. Now, we don't need a car, we need shoes.
Yeah.
So we stood by a tree and we prayed and we were saying, God, give us a pair of shoes. We need a pair of shoes for Russell. That day, a man came along, took off with the cross, and when we met him, we're a couple miles up, we met him. And he said that, Russell, could you use some shoes? He said, 6 months prior, he went to a show, and he bought these Reebok walking shoes. It was exactly what Russell needed, and he gave him brand new shoes. He never used them. He didn't know why he bought them, but God knew.
God knew,
God knew.
But the most important thing about this story is he pulled out of his pocket a suicide note that when he met the cross, he was going to go home and kill himself when he met the cross. And it totally changed his life forever. We have so many stories like that, too.
One of the things that I so love about Dorothy, in person and on television, it's this most refreshing thing because there's this twofold thing. Your story speaks to why and how anybody can do what they are called to do. When you're looking at ministry, some people get intimidated. Oh, I can't be a worship leader. I don't know how to play an instrument, or I can't preach. I'm not a speaker, or whatever the thing. And they're intimidated by this idea of doing what God has called them to do. But you literally had nothing material, nothing but your faith, and you just took off. And these stories, like when this man was planning this horrible evening and met the cross, literally met the cross. Isn't that cool? We get a lot of very theological people on this show, a lot of very impressive, you know, studying what the word says and stuff like that. But your story convicts everybody. It's very convicting.
Thank you.
It's literally, yeah.
It's falling in love with Jesus.
This book, We Walk by Faith, Not by Sight, is chocked full from cover to cover of stories like this, miracles, parts of Dorothy's journey. And we want to make sure that you know how to get your copy of this incredible work. Right now at the SkywatchTVStore.com, you're going to find the Walk by Faith special offer. Now, this offer includes three masterpiece works. First, you're going to receive, of course, Dorothy Spaulding's new book, We Walk by Faith, Not by Sight, where you'll journey with Dorothy across the United States in an epic act of faith. You'll also discover how to hear the voice of God and carry it through, never wavering or quitting when times get tough. You're going to discover how to identify the secrets of prevailing prayer, tenacity, and courage, which I think Dorothy embodies, and you can tell that as she's here sharing her story, and learn to be a bold and fearless witness of Jesus Christ. But that's not all. You're also going to receive Dr. Thomas Horn's true biographical book, The Boy from El Mirage, where you'll learn how Tom cheated death three times and came to discover why God spared him for a kingdom purpose. This biography covers everything from how he met his lifelong mate, Nita, his early years as a pastor, supernatural events that he's experienced in his long and storied life, and most importantly, it's a call to action and message of truth for everybody today. And finally, you'll receive the biographical book, No Fences, by Whispering Ponies Ranch founder Nita Horn, where you'll experience her journey from devastation to tenderness, humor, and warmth. From surviving poverty and discovering an invisible God who has a plan for all of our lives, No Fences is an intimate and revealing narrative of losing dreams, getting them back, and the faith journey in between. Altogether, these three masterpieces hold a retail value of $60, yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to miss out on this incredible opportunity to get this book, We Walk by Faith, Not by Sight. I promise you will be inspired and you'll learn a ton. Back to this incredible story, Dorothy. You know, God, he could have said, Dorothy, I want you to walk across the U.S., you know, waving the Christian flag. March across the United States with a Bible in your hand and evangelize. Why do you think he was very specific about this large, probably difficult to carry, cumbersome, heavy cross? Why do you think he wanted you to carry the cross across the U.S.?
Because it brings conviction to people. Mm-hmm. A logging truck followed us for 3 days, and then he stopped, and he came to the cross. He says, I want Jesus in my life. Then one day in Monroe, Louisiana, we were walking in an area, and this truck slammed on its brakes. The guy came crawling across the intersection, grabbed a hold of the cross, and said, I need Jesus in my life. And then one little girl in Providence, Rhode Island, she's just a little kid, and she came up and she says, what's that man carrying? I said, it's a cross. What's a cross? It's about Jesus. Who's Jesus?
Oh, wow.
And I said, I led her to the Lord. Then some news people came up, and while they did, she ran all through the neighborhood and gathered maybe 30 kids. And she said, they want Jesus in their heart, too.
Oh, that's so cool.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It's very cool.
Yeah, and things like this happen over and over and over again. One time in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, there was a man, and it was one of those high Anglican churches. Mm-hmm. His son came out and saw us carrying the cross. Now, if we didn't have a cross, or if we didn't just had T-shirts or whatever, that we could have witnessed Jesus, but that cross draws men to him.
Yeah.
And so he said, would you come and preach in my dad's church tomorrow, Father's Day? I said, well, we can do that. And so we went there. We have a little video that we play. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and came walking down the aisle with a cross. Then we play this talk and played this little video, People Need the Lord. The pastor got up, took his Bible, had high Anglican church pastor, took his Bible, oh, kind of like this, and then he dropped it. And he looked up and he said, today I was going to tell you I was going to quit the ministry. But these two people showed me who Jesus really was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Isn't that something?
Wow. That's
you incredible. Wonder why God takes you these places. There's so many stories in there of how he did that.
Russell.
Uh-huh.
He receives healing.
Uh-huh.
He's discovered now he's got some form of diabetes. And this man approaches him and lays hands on him. He's thrilled beyond belief. Does he do okay for the rest of the duration of that journey then?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he was fine. But now we were on an 8-year journey.
Right.
If you go back to drinking Cokes and you go back to doing, yeah, it came back.
So there's a lesson about nutrition in
nutrition,
here as well.
There you go.
There's also things that you can do to worsen a situation for sure. You've got this whole litany, though, Dorothy, of miracle. We were never going to get all of this in a couple of programs. But tell us about the 83-year-old man.
Oh, this particular day, it just seemed like we had so much ministry, and we only walked probably 8 miles. And I said, Lord, we didn't walk so far today. And he says, keep walking. And this car drives up beside us, and there was an 83-year-old man in that car, the passenger. And as what we were doing, we were telling him about Jesus, and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. His eyes turned crystal blue, and the tears just ran out of his face. Now, 83 years old, he never served the Lord. Just think, he was one of those last minutes snatched out of hell.
Yeah.
Because of a cross walking down the road.
And if that was all that this trip served to do,
many.
Would you describe it as worth it?
It was worth it.
Just
every
this
minute.
One soul?
Well, it was worth it, and it was also worth to teach me how to walk by faith because of what was coming next.
But you can't even quantify the ripple effect of just his life and maybe his sphere. And that's why, you know, it's impossible to play the numbers game. People get fascinated with, you know, church numbers, and they want to know. There's nothing wrong with looking to see if your church appears to be growing, but right. to get stuck on that as a measurement for whether or not you're effectively changing lives has always been a huge mistake. My father tells the story that he believes is a huge part of why he always had this curiosity and a reverence for God. Even though not always growing up was he surrounded by, you know, the most Christian of apparatus, okay, let's just say that. But he has these early memories of being 5 years old, which is amazing that my dad could recall something like that, because he tends not to even attempt to remember the past. He's always looking at the future, right?
Yeah.
But he remembers this little old lady teaching him Sunday school lessons on a flannel graph. Do you guys remember those?
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on now, this was pre-YouTube. Before we had overhead projectors and fog machines, right? But how effective, you know, and this little old lady is peeling off Joseph and she's putting him up, and then here's this great big giant and she sticks him on. People watching the show that doesn't know what a flannel graph is are totally lost, but it was, you know, like a little piece of plywood with a piece of flannel on it. These little paper doll-esque figures out of what looked like a coloring book that went with your teacher's curriculum would stick to it over and over again.
It was magic.
It was amazing.
It was cool.
It stuck kind of like Velcro.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of like Velcro or like a window vinyl. But anyway, I digress. The point is, he's never forgotten that moment. Mm-hmm. And only God can quantify. Now, we don't know the name of this little lady. We have no idea how long she did ministry after that. But that little seed that these Bible characters planted in my dad's head, you can't quantify what that might have done throughout his, you know, these young formative years where he's becoming a young adult and then an adult, how his first introduction to the idea of a Christ and a Savior and some of these characters might have been made larger than life. Because during those formative years, you just cannot assemble on a blueprint how important that might be, especially when you're dealing with the lives of a child. So you look at the ministry that my dad has gone on to participate in, and you could say that everybody, including this little lady that was obedient to her calling, got to own a little part of whatever it is he's ever done, right?
Yep.
So, Dorothy, the ripple of this story, we walk by faith.
Yes.
In this side of heaven, we will never know the lives reached through these ministry efforts, but this book is incredible. So, Dorothy, for those following this episode that want to learn more about you and your ministries, where would they go?
Go to Google at wbpi.org. They can watch us on Watchmen, and they can watch you on there too. Watchmen with an E, broadcasting, and TV49 is wbpi.org.
So make sure you check it out. Also, we will be back. The story is just getting started, I promise. Don't go anywhere. Join us next week as Dorothy returns to continue her story about her adventures and how God has used this walk of faith to impact the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, for everybody here in studio, everybody on panel, Dorothy, thank you for joining us. I'm Joe Artishorn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.